seven, six, five, four, three, two, one.
Yo, 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 that's right, you know the name and you know the voice. We are back at it again with another Hear Me Out segment, and this time I'm going to be chilling with my boy Reggie from Reggie Expressions. As you guys know, I've been doing this whole creative journey, and what better else to bring creative people along with me to share their story in a safe space. So, without further ado, let me introduce my guest. What's up, Reggie? How you doing? No, thank you for taking time out of your busy day, and yeah, I definitely appreciate it.
Absolutely, no worries.
We're just gonna jump into it because I want to get in your business and know your whole creative gym dropping things that you got going on.
I'll see what I can do.
So first up, tell us about your podcast.
Yes, my podcast is named Reggie's Expressions, as you stated. I've been doing it for about 2 years. It is really kind of a book of like testament in terms of being a not young adult, but older adult, not quite like old adult, and still not knowing what the can I curse on here?
Yes.
Still not knowing what the fuck is going on. And you're just trying to figure out like, and you're learning things. Or you're unlearning things that has been instilled in you, and having that internal conflict, and just having thoughts and feelings, and being open about it, and crying, and being upset, and self care. So a multitude of things, but mostly just Reggie's thoughts on any given situation at any given time.
I love it. I love it. And if y'all know, I'm always fucking up words. And if you haven't checked out. Our episode, make sure you go check it out. We dropped a lot of gems. Me and Reggie met through the Black Podcast Association on Facebook. You know, sometimes I just start to scrolling through these different groups, and people are always looking for guests, and you know, I'm always about empowering people. And you know, sometimes when it's a one-man show, it gets a little boring for the creator. Let me not speak for everybody, but for me, as you guys know, I don't really do a lot of guests, but I have turned Hear Me Out into a new turn, and you know, I just want to, you know, share my space with other people, because I feel like we all have a story. So how did you like originally create it before it all got started? Like, what was that creative process like? Like, did you just wake up one day and I want to start a podcast?
Very good question. So, you know, I'm dating myself, but I used to want to be on the radio, right? Mm-hmm. When I was, y'all probably don't remember that because y'all got Spotify and all these other things to listen to. But the radio station basically is where you would call and they play your favorite jam. Unlike on, you know, Spotify now, where you can just type up Black Beatles and it comes right up. Nah, we had to actually listen to the commercials and all that other stuff. But anyway. I was listening to a DJ who was on the radio, and I just really liked her, and I knew the number to the radio station because you could do birthday shout outs and stuff. So I called her and we got into conversation, and that entered my desire to actually be on radio. So I fast forward to joining the military, getting out of the military. I actually majored in radio. You know, by the time I got my degree in it, I had decided that I wanted to move on into something else, and I was doing really good in sales. So I did the sales thing for a number of years. Well, a buddy of mine that we used to work together at this company, you know, had a similar interest. He was into social media and starting to, you know, become a social media person. And I mentioned to him that I used to do radio and this application called Anchor came out, and we used to do shows on there. Well, we split, and there was a 3-year pause. I had a best friend who passed away, and I kind of had, you know, was thinking about how impactful could my life, you know, what can I do impactful with my life? You know, mm-hmm. for her to be as young as she was and to have the impact that she had, I wondered what mine was. And one of the things that she said was live life on purpose every day and be kind to people. And that in line turned into me deciding to revisit becoming a podcaster again. And it took me over 3 weeks to make that episode, but you know, it's been full force since January 2020. So,
well, congratulations, because I know starting, creating, producing, getting your own sponsorship for a podcast is not fucking easy at all. And we're like a one man show, one man team. Independent creator. So I definitely understand what independent artists go through when they're making music and things. But yeah, so let's talk about your recent sponsor. So how did that come a play? Like, what was that process like?
Yeah, so my two sponsors, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to shout them out, because, you know, the sponsorships have been nice. They came in at a really good time. But Taco El Alacran, which is a Mexican restaurant here in Ecole, if you ever get a chance to come down here, that is the place you and I are going. So, you know, it's all on me. So make sure you hold me to that.
Okay, I got it on audio.
worthycakes.com or Worthy Cakes, beautiful African American sisters who helm that whole thing, and they have some of the best cakes you could have. I think that it's the best way to eat cake because you can eat it in jars. So anyway, these are just two places that me and my husband frequent. We love going there. So it made it easy for me because they got to a point, you know, where they were familiar with us. So that familiarity made it easier for me to go up to them and be like, hey, I'm a podcaster and I like your business. Do you mind, like to be a sponsor? You know, I just went and, shoot my shot, as the kids say nowadays.
Yeah, the girlies and their boys.
Yes. So I did that. And, strangely, I was actually thinking that I was going to bring home the Worthy Cakes, like, the pitch was signed, sealed, and delivered. You know what I'm saying? And I went out, took my media kit with her, and, you know, she was a little bit on the fence initially until she saw what I was doing. Now, Alacran, that came out of just pure excitement for her agreeance to do it. You know, when Worthy Cakes was like, yes, I was like, shit, I got another company I want to do. And it was the Mexican restaurant. Mm-hmm. And he was like, yes. And he donated to the cause immediately. You know, he, gave, you know, which allowed me to buy some, supplies and stuff that I needed in order to, you know, be more successful in the business. I was able to, you know, get the website and, you know, also I was able to get a, you know, business cell phone for other things, for other parts of my business. So it's been going really well because I've gotten different, I just say they're donations because at the end of the day, you know, I don't feel right, you know, charging them like X amount of dollars, like, mm-hmm. you know, an advertising firm would, because I'm really just using things that are in my wheelhouse. But, you know, even with that, I've learned that you have to be vocal about what you're worth, because if you're not, they're going to give you what they think you're worth. Mm-hmm. It might be an insult. So
I like what you said. Be vocal about your worth. And that also, to anybody that's out there working, any interviews, any new companies that you're going for, never settle for the hourly or the salary that they're giving you. Always fight for it. Even if it's like $1,000 more than what, fight for it, fight, because they're going to pay you the bare minimum, as we all know, because they're trying to save money. So I definitely appreciate you for saying that, dropping gems, and you was worried about you wasn't. So where, like, in, let's say, like, in 3 years, where would you like your show to go?
That's a very good question, you know, because with the recent change, because I moved from Anchor to, because Anchor is owned by Spotify, and I don't agree with what they did with Joe Rogan, so I decided to move over to Podbean to record and post my, podcast. I can't even think. So I've been thinking about that. Honestly, I want to just continue to encourage people to tell their stories. You know, just don't be afraid to say what is on your mind, or say what, you know, say what's on your mind and be honest about how you feel. You know, for all us empaths out here who are told that you're too emotional, you're too extra, you're too this, you're too that, I want, you know, being empathic to be the same, or not the same, but, you know, revered the same way as someone who is biblical. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Being empathic is a very internal thing. And it's people who can read people internally. It's like, for example, you and I, if we ever were to get face to face, well, I mean, actually, like, together, I can feel your energy. I might not necessarily know what exactly the situation is, but I can tell whether it's good energy or bad energy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it's up to me to kind of cipher through what it may be. So, you know, I just want it to be, you know, something that people can identify with and use as source material to, you know, to use as a frame of reference to, you know, try to be the best person they can be. So,
love it.
So, you know, I don't know if money isn't something that motivates me. Although I love it, I would love to be rich. It's not necessary for me to have in order to measure the success that I have. You know.
Right. I try to tell people, you know, obviously money is good to have and things like that. But another thing that we have in common, money doesn't motivate me. It's just not. It comes and goes. It's in one hand. I got bills to pay. And then I'm like, oh, OK, so I have this amount of dollars left to actually live for the next 2 weeks or for however long a $100 bill will last. Damn it, I forgot where I was going with that.
You know, at the same time, too, when you chase money, the unfortunate part about it is it's a insatiable appetite. You know, mm-hmm. There's not an amount that will ever be enough. So you have to figure out what you think is, you have to do it for yourself. You know what I'm saying? This job, there's a little bit of narcissism in it because we're promoting ourselves. But the selfless part of it is you're going to be doing this by yourself a lot of the time. And you're not going to really have that level of, not commitment, but interest. Like, you know, other people can show in other things. You know, I even have to get on my husband and ask him, listen, I talked to him a couple days ago. I was like, when the last time you listened to my episode? He was like, well, the one you had on TV a couple of days ago. I said, since then? He was like, it's been a long time. I said, okay. So if the idea is that I'm supposed to support you in everything you do, you know, it would be safe to say that it's the same for me. So I'm going to need you to start listening to that podcast again.
So do you take it personal when, like, let's say, like, your team, like the closest people to you, don't really listen to it or engage with you on your podcast? Not engage, but like listen to it.
No, engage is the correct way.
Oh, okay.
You know, because they you know, I knew what you meant by that, and that's exactly the word that I use when I'm talking to them. Like, you know, what's the disconnect? Why is it? So yes, to answer your question, and this is why, you know, the people who know you the most feel like they don't have to listen to those stories because they have access to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And to me, the simplest and easiest thing you can do without spending money is to support someone. Is to listen to what they have to say, to tell this, you know, especially if they're doing something with as much passion as I do this as, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it does bother me when friends don't. It is not an obligation. But I know if the shoe was on the other foot and you were doing something that you really was passionate about, it wouldn't take me nothing to make sure that I'm available for you for that. But that's how I receive, you know, that's something that works for me in friendships. I'm noticing that it's not the same for everybody else. But what I also notice is when the shit gets popping, all of a sudden everybody want to be around and be like, oh, now, yeah, I was there when I, motherfucker, how many episodes did you listen to?
Right.
One. Okay, so no, don't come over here trying to ride this bandwagon. Now you see I got a little traction here. You know what I'm saying? You mm-hmm. were over there talking about this was a little hobby before, and you know all these things. And the reality of it is now you just here because you realize that it's a ticket to get to the next place. Now, I'm not in no ways, you know, balling out of control, making thousands of dollars like, you know, some of these famous podcasters. But, you know, I do have a reach, you know what I'm saying? So it's so long and short of it, yes, it does bother me. And I think that it should be a non-negotiable personally.
That's a great point because I'm actually a little nervous to say this, but I've said it on my episodes before. Like, I think the complete opposite. My show is going to reach who it reaches. But from a support side of what you're saying, like people in your circle and people that's always supposed to be there and support you, especially when you're on the up and coming and rising. Because as we see on social media, every week, Rihanna has a new outfit on, and you see her all over social media with her baby bump. Mm-hmm. I have yet to see anybody post my episodes. And it makes us feel some type of, like, not me personally, I'm just speaking for people in general. But us as independent creators, it does make us feel some type of way. And I think that's an emotion that I'm not really trying to like explore. So I use the excuse, I'm gonna call it, it doesn't bother me, you know, it's gonna reach whoever it reaches, which it will, but that's not the case. If you can call me every day and know what's going on in my personal life, you can push play on this fucking podcast.
Mm-hmm. Or better yet, you know, not even. And I actually had this conversation with Black Curry, which is one of the episodes that I had. We had the same conversation. And it's like, we're not asking for money. We're not asking for you to support our dream. At the end of the day, all we ask is just a little bit of engagement, like what you just said. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, support by sharing. Because the only way that I'm going to be able to get beyond this level of just being, you know, like, for example, being in a COE, mm-hmm. is if you share it among people who you care about and who you know. My page is only going to reach the 200 people that are on the page who actually follow it and like it. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to reach all the folks that it does, you know, you as a person have access to. So it's just really, it's one of those things that's just become, and I think the social media age has made it this way where people are just ardently about, like, not like, my social media is my social media. My time is my time. And, you know, I'm not doing that or whatever if it requires my friendship. You know, there's so many lines being drawn in the sand, but, it, you know, the human part of it is at the end of the day, you're my friend, I'm your friend, I support you, you support me, and that's it. It's nothing more, nothing less, you know?
Mm. Now I need to have some conversations with the people in my circle because now I'm looking at things totally differently now. So thank you.
this is something I have been thinking about for a while. And like I said, I feel like this, it's the same thing as being in sales. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? I've had many friends that have come and bought things from me because they believe in me as a salesperson. Why would this be any different? You know what I'm saying? So I don't really get the idea. You know, I had one buddy, and he'll know who I'm talking about. He was like, I don't really like listen to podcasts like that. And I was like, who says that? Like, who? I don't understand. Like, I'm not asking you to go out and listen to freaking Whitney Cummings, some random person that right. I like. I'm talking about me. You know me. So what do you mean you wouldn't listen? It would be the same thing as you sitting down in my house for an hour listening to me talk. You know what I'm saying? The difference is you actually have that intimacy with me to know, oh yeah, I know that story that he's talking about, that he's being, distant about, like he's not sharing all the details because of this or this. You know, I mean, there's more to it than just listening to me talk. It's actually getting thoughts and ideas that I don't necessarily express the same way I do when I'm having a conversation with you. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's just how I think, Marco. That didn't mean anything.
No, for real, like, you really dropped something over here, so I'm just taking it all in and thinking, because I have been using that excuse for like the last 2 years, but it does affect me. Like, you can call me all the time. We can have 20-minute, 30-minute conversations. And, ooh, what's going on here? And how's that? How's this going? Well, you would know if you listened to the show, because the same not the same conversation, but, like, on the show, it might be a little edited because, you know, it's the internet, but you get the behind the scenes. And
right, you know what it is. So you have that connection there to be able to, like, fill in the blanks where I'm just being vague. That's the word that I was trying to say. Mm-hmm. I'm being vague for the sake of whoever else is involved, and I don't want to tell their story versus mine. So, you know, it is what it is.
Mm-mm-mm. what do the young kids say on the TikTok? You taught me something new, something along those lines. The girls, you know, I'm an uncle over here, so I can't keep up with all the sayings that they say. But
then if you're an uncle and you considerably younger than me, then what the hell am I? I'm a grand uncle.
No, I think we are uncles, just a part of different generations.
Okay.
You know, I'm an old school uncle. Yeah, like you, an old school uncle. I'm a new school uncle.
So,
question. So before, like, going back to your show and starting it up, so what is your creative process like when starting a new show, like getting in the mindset? Because as we all know, you wear a lot of different hats. You're a husband, you know, you're a marketer, you are a host, you're the creator, but what is it that you do to get in the mindset of Reggie Expressions?
So that's a very good question. I'm always in my head 90% of the time, but I like it to be as organic. I want it to be as organic as possible. So it's really, I obviously would take from, you know, pop culture, you know, depending on the circumstances. Like, for example, a few weeks back when the Joe Rogan shit was really, like, hopping off, I had an episode about that because I really, really think that, you know, it personifies white privilege. You know what I'm saying? The fact that he can do and say, and we've seen black people get denied for less. You know what I'm saying? So it really made me want to be vocal about it because I am a podcaster. You know, it's something that mm-hmm. directly affects me, right? And, you know, censorship and all of that stuff. So I felt that it was necessary. So what really kind of informs my content for the show is things that I'm going through. You know, I had an episode this season about, you know, being a small business owner and, you know, how to create amounts of money I had to spend to become incorporated and all of that stuff. And, you know, that's typically the case. I'm not a person. So that's where it started. It's based on something that I've gone through that directly affects me. And it's typically my uniqueness about it. Now, if I have someone like Marco on, what I do is I create a outline of my questions that I want to ask. It's a very loosely based outline. That kind of allows you to see what I'm thinking in terms of, you know, how I want this conversation to go. I say it's loosely because it may be something that you say that informs me or makes me want to ask me questions about it. So, you know, that's one thing. And then after I, create the outline, I will send it to the person who I'm interviewing to get their idea and, you know, their take on it. For the most part, the people, you know, with the length of time that I've been doing this, people trust me enough to know that I'm going to flesh out as much as I can if I see an opportunity to. So they trust me with coming up with questions and gearing the conversation. They allow me to be the interviewer. And then after that, I kind of go through the process of marketing. You know, I create little, you know, commercials based on the show that I have, little, you know, pictures where, you know, the dancing pictures type thing to, you know, create interest or to create more, you know, buzz or whatever. I'll do lives. You know, I typically will start start promoting for the show 2 days prior. Mm-hmm. No, 3 days, because I consider Sunday. The Sunday I edit, cut, and get ready to release it. And then I'll, you know, late afternoon on Saturday, Sunday, I will post a picture of who's going to be next on the podcast. So, and that's just a rigmarole of, you know, a day, you know, going in and just posting something different, whether it be, you know, the picture again on Monday, the clip, you know, from the next episode, and then, you know, the day of, you know, both of them within a couple hours of each other being posted. So, and then that's it. And then I just kind of, you know, relax and let it go after that.
Well, I love it. I love it. You know, we're always, well, not we, Marco is always trying to figure out new concepts and things. I get bored with things easy, especially in my creative space. So I'm always looking to change or add, subtract, figure out what X is, and, you know, figure out Y. But yeah, thank you for that. I've been taking notes, so excuse me and my silence. But that's really all. I've gotten a lot of information from you, and I've learned a lot from you, so I definitely appreciate it. This is the part of the show where I pass the mic to you, and you get to ask me a question.
Okay. So my question for you is, do you tackle LGBTQIA plus topics in your work?
I do, not as much as I would like. And the reason why, I'm just not as educated on our community as I would like to be. Just with all the, obviously I know like the different letters, but when it comes to trans and, you know, this and saying it correctly and hoping not to offend any, you know, circle within our community, I try to stay away from. It's just something that I haven't grasped yet, and I rather like not really speak on it, but like speak from my experience. I've never shied away from my sexuality, but when I'm talking about other people and, you know, trying to have topics about that, I get a little, I'm already, you know, stuttering and nervous because I'm making sure I don't want to say anything offensive. But it's just something that I'm just not really confident into it yet, but I'm more confident in sharing my experience.
Right. And that's what it's about. It's mm-hmm. about sharing your experience. You know what I'm saying? You can't speak for everybody. You know, although it's a community, what I mean by that, and, you know, we consider it a community, is, you know, a group of people who identify the same way. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Or similarly to each other. So, you know, we also know that the way that community exists in the real world is there's many different people. You have many different neighbors and things. So it's a melting pot of people. So that happen to live in the same neighborhood. Right. So, and that's taking it literally. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that's the only thing you can do, you know, and I think that when you talk about that stuff, if it's something that you're interested in, you have to talk about it in a way that this could be a shared experience. And there will be a lot of people who identify with what you go through, because your experience, it may not be exactly the same. It may be reminiscent to what somebody else may have experienced in a different way. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, but yeah, I mean, it's your show, so you can do, it's not that it has to be your charge. I think that, you know, the one thing about being in this space, being queer, you know, gay or whatever, I identify as queer. There's so many perspectives out there that I don't necessarily align with that can be very salacious or, you know, gaudy or, you know, performative. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me, my experience is more rooted in just trying to figure shit out. Like, you know, yes, I'm gay, but I'm also fat. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, being gay, oh, but I'm married as well. And, you know, I don't really have a lot of friends that I know, you know, that are gay, you know, in gay relationships, you know, and we're always the ostentatious one of the group. Like everybody's like, oh, how does it work for you guys? And it's just like, we human, just like, I don't want to be the outlier. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, you know, like, I don't want to have to explain my experience differently because you don't, you know what I'm saying? So, I like what you do, and I think that you definitely have a very effervescent, thing about you. Like, you're definitely full of life. I mean, you say you're an uncle, but I don't really see you that way in the sense that I think that you still got a lot of young in you,
mm-hmm.
and that you definitely have the desire to want to be. I think you're going to do what you want to do, not to hurt anybody, but necessarily because it's something that is serving you.
So. Yeah. I actually enjoy that question. And now after hearing you talk, I will say I identify with my black side more versus like my gay side. And that just comes from of me just figuring this. See, here I go again. Figuring myself out a little bit more. I've never really had any gay mentor or, a father figure or any type of male that just identified differently. It was me and my family, and I come from a family of all women, literally. All sisters, one brother, we don't really talk, all nieces, all my godchildren, their daughters of, my friends. So, like, I try to identify with my black male side more than my gay side, because I even personally still get confused with myself of, oh, why do I like this, or what am I doing, or is this right? And again, I don't have too many gay friends in my Rolodex of text messages. They're all female. And my people know, like, don't ask me about my experience, because I don't want to be the vocal point of, okay, so how do y'all do this in your relationship? Yeah, that's our relationship. This relationship was not like the last one. This one, I mean, there won't be a next one. But, the one that I'm in was not like the first one. So I can't really say, like, even the women at my my job, they found out, or because I told them, but they was like, oh my gosh, so who's the masculine and who's the feminine? I'm like, I'm not doing that. Like,
it's so disrespectful.
And I was trying to explain it to her. Like, I was like,
what you should have did, Marco, is like, who's the masculine and feminine one in your relationship? Because I'm really confused.
Well, we did talk about it, fun fact. But
the thing about it is she would have realized how stupid that question is.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, we're talking about gender roles. We're not talking about, you know what I'm saying? We're not talking about who's the man, who's the woman.
Right.
And I think people kind of conflate that to think that one means the other. We're both men. Like I tell people about me and my husband, we both men. We both enjoy being men. We love the fact that we don't have to get up and have cramps every month. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We love the fact that we can fuck, I'm sorry, and not have to worry about each other getting pregnant. I'm glad that we don't have that. And that's privilege. That's male privilege that I, in this relationship that you can't have. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, it's not about that. We are just people. I'm the more passionate one in the relationship, and Carlos is more the, kind of quiet and behind the scenes. So you can tell that's something that triggered me. But
no, because it.
I'm sorry. Let me bring it down.
No, because it definitely triggered me too. Because then she asked, she was like, "Oh, well, let me see a picture of y'all," and I was like, "Okay, cool," and. Again, no offense to anybody that's listening, but like, we're just both masculine. And she was really trying to dissect it. She's like, oh, well, you look more feminine right here. And I was like, how? We do the like matching shirts and, things like that. And I was like, how? We literally have the same colors on, the same shirt. Maybe it's the way we're standing. But she couldn't even really give me an answer. And she was like, well, do you do the cooking or does he do the cooking? I said, he's the cook. I rather clean. Oh, well, yeah, you're the feminine one. I said, no, cleaning to me is therapeutic. I like smelling chemicals and a fresh house. He likes the
cleaning has everything to do with you being a clean person.
Hello.
Being clean has nothing to do with masculinity and femininity. And see, that's her wolf perception.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, I feel you, man. And I understand why you would say that you're identifying more with your blackness. And to me, my take on that is synonymous, really. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't, unfortunately, take off being, people don't know I'm gay, right? Mm-hmm. You know, they see me as a black man, but I know that I'm a queer, or at one point identified as gay black man. You know what I'm saying? So the idea that we can just make one, you know, die down is, to me, it isn't, it can be a little restricting, and it kind of puts us back in that same point of having to fend for ourselves, you know, or being defensive in a stance that doesn't make sense to what we're trying to do. You get what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
So it's just, you know, I think we're aligned in that same way that we don't want to have to educate people about what we do. Because at this point, it's 2022. It's mm-hmm. 2022, sister. You done seen Queer as Folk. You done seen a new version of Queer as Folk. Honey, Noah's Ark has been out for a long time. I know you looked at the DL Chronicles on YouTube.
And there's so many. She's from Atlanta. I was going to say, she's from Atlanta.
Yeah, so you see that shit every day. So why are you over here fronting? Get out of here. Get away from me, Keisha. I don't know her real name.
Yeah, we're going to call her Keisha. That ain't her name, but we're going to call her Keisha. Because Keisha
get away from me.
Keisha pissed me off, but mm-hmm. yeah, thank you for asking that. I had that on my chest. I haven't yet to express it in a form that I could, but that also triggered me too, because I hate that question, and I hate trying to identify myself to people's norms. I'm black, I'm male, and I'm gay.
You shouldn't have to. Yeah, you shouldn't have to. And I think that, you know, that's why I think your voice in this thing is necessary. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? It is imperative that we get to, you know, hear your view, because, you know, even though you and I are both gay, we came from different generations. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? So, you know, to be able to hear the multi-level factors of being gay, I think is great. And all things in their own time. So don't feel like you got to go out and make an episode about it tomorrow, which you're doing your own thing anyway. And I know you ain't thinking that, but I'm throw that out there.
Definitely not.
And you're going to deal with it however way you want to. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm going to be here to support you, you know, as much as I possibly can. So, you know, I appreciate, you know, you reaching out. And I think that, you know, going and just randomly, you know, messaging me one night saying, hey, I'd be interested, has definitely opened the door to, you know, a beautiful, you know, relationship, as well as, you know, partnership in a way that I can help you if you need help and vice versa. So,
well, Reggie, I definitely appreciate that, and I accept all the knowledge and gems that you have dropped on this episode. It is greatly, greatly appreciated. Hopefully we can inspire and, you know, motivate the generation behind us. Before we end this episode, let the listeners know where they can find you, what you got going on, all this, that, and the third.
Okay, so you can find me at Reggie's Expressions, and that's REGGEE Expressions on Facebook and YouTube. And you can also find me on Instagram at Reggie's Expressions, and that's spelled REGGEES_Expressions. I do have an episode that's out now. It is with a good friend of mine, you know, Jamal Bivens. He is a awesome guy, and we talk about corporate America and, you know, what he went through recently with getting fired from his company. Next week, I have a beautiful episode that's coming out. It is going to be in a Latin barbershop, and the thing that I like the most about this episode is the fact that you get an opportunity to see those guys who are super macho kind of take the veil off, if you will, and mm-hmm. allow themselves to be able to be vulnerable. And it's one of the most beautiful episodes I've ever done. So be on the lookout for that. I'm starting to promote that this week.
Well, thank you again, Reggie. And y'all niggas that's listening, you know the name, you know the voice. Make sure you tune in to Hear Me Out on all streaming platforms. Titled Hear Me Out, wherever you find a podcast, you can find me. If you want more of me personally, check me out on the socials at Marco the Prince. MarcoDeprence. And make sure you add a .com to that to check out the website. And until next time, y'all, we out.
Bye.